Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody, and we are here. Ava's here.
I'm here.
Don, you're here.
I'm here.
We are all here today. Tons of good stories coming up today. A very well-known, prominent bass fisherman announces he's going to be retiring after this year. And a big announcement about what's going on in Mille Lacs this summer. Okay. Stay tuned. Big stuff coming right up. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Morning, Don.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Lovely. Lovely. Lots of stuff going on in the outdoors right now.
Yeah.
And big time with a local person that we've spent time talking to. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
Jesse Diggins.
I had driven into Wisconsin here yesterday, and I noticed the boat trailers lined up. Boy, they're hitting the water right now.
What Don is talking about is the river in Red Wing gets, shall we say, some traffic as soon as the weather hits maybe a 35-degree day.
Yep.
And they all line up at any ramp that's going to allow access. And there's only two of them that really, so there's a back channel that you can get to that doesn't have any salt that you can put down on the ramp. So it gets to be a guided ride when you launch your boat, because not everybody waits by the ramp when you pull your boat out and then let it drain and then drive it out. People don't even think about that. They'll drive it all the way out. So when you're going in the morning, the previous night, there's nobody that salted that ramp. She just kind of goes in, because when it's hit the ramp and the basically where the water is, then you can grip and stop.
Right. There were a lot of rigs though. They must be up there.
Well, they're there all winter. The thing is trying to fish in the winter just doesn't work as well.
No,
I mean when it's 19 below zero, your guides freeze up.
This particular time of year we're in the 35, I think 39, maybe for a high. But as long as it isn't freezing that year, when you're back in your boat in, you just don't keep going.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that happen?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
No, I've seen it.
That would make me really sad.
In the Rainy River.
Oh, okay.
Well, so if anybody's fished the Rainy River, I think you know what I'm talking about. But what happens in spring, there's so many people that launch their boats and pull their boats out, there gets to be an ice shelf. So at the water's edge, it just keeps building up and building up and building up and building up. So sometimes you'll have 8 to 10 inches of a ledge that goes down right to the bare concrete ramp right at the water. And you got to go over the top of that.
Right.
But you don't let your truck go over the top of that. You also don't want to literally charge the boat to get it out of the ramp. And I happened to watch a gentleman that decided to do that. He meanwhile took a dual axle trailer, and the front axle, if you know, they're both parallel when they're normally positioned, they were no longer parallel. It pulled one axle, slid the mounting bracket off of the trailer.
Sure.
Not off of it, but slid it down the trailer diagonally into the other tire.
Oh, wow.
And now he's stuck in the ramp. Yeah. Because it's jammed and he can't move it.
Yeah, I was at a ramp one time. We were going to actually do a tournament. This was in February, and I think I've told this story before, where the gentleman backed in, forgot to take the straps off the back of his boat, and then he pulls his boat out. Now the trailer's wet, the boat's wet, and takes the straps off and puts the boat in, and the trailer froze to the boat, which pulled the back end of the boat down. So now the boat fills up full of water. He pulls it out, and it wasn't long, and he had ice in the boat, and he just called it a day, pulled the plug, and he just went down the road.
We had that at Spring Valley. That's one of the early tournaments. That's actually coming up, I believe. And this Spring Valley annual tournament, big tournament, used to have 250, 300 people. And, of course, it's that marginal time of year. You get flooding where you end up having LP tanks floating down the river if it's, you know, big-time water. And our boat froze, and many guys' boats froze, so you couldn't get it off the trailer. So you had to unstrap it in the back and then drive over a bunch of curbs.
Oh, jeez.
So
that's good for the equipment.
Well, that's the only way you get the boat off the trailer.
How about if you pulled it inside a car wash or something?
It wouldn't it
there's you froze by the time you got back to the lake.
Wouldn't matter. Yeah. You just had to break it free.
Yeah.
And then you're good to go. But yeah, just took a couple jumps. No big deal.
It's
no
kind of like ice fishing. I just don't hate them that bad.
I don't either. Speaking of don't hating Jessie Diggins big time.
She's had a pretty successful run here the last few weeks.
She has done tremendously well.
Maybe a little background on Jessie.
Yeah, Jessie's on the cross country ski team, U.S. cross country ski team. She's had so many firsts in sprint. She did gold. A dramatic Olympic win.
First U.S.
Yep.
Olympian to ever win a medal, let alone a gold medal.
Yep. So amazing feats of what she has done, and she won this year's Tour de Ski. Some of these people that have entered the races, it's odd when they get done with these races, they're so deprived of oxygen. One of them in that race had to be pulled off the course in an ambulance, even though she won the event.
They just collapse.
They collapse and they're done. And it was funny because Jessie Diggins mastered the art of staying present through the pain. And in the individual race this last Tuesday, even though she was literally laying on the ground right afterwards, she said, "No, I'm getting up. I'm going to be at that podium, whether it come heck or high water, I'll be there."
Yeah.
So just amazing, amazing things. And
yeah, well, she won the, what, yeah,
10 kilometer
sprint.
Yep.
Yep. Individual.
Yep.
And I believe she won a bronze in a team event.
She did.
Earlier in the week.
Yep. One of the funny things is she got to, she was laying in the snow, got to her feet, made it way to the leader's chair. So as soon as you're a leader, you go sit in the chair and you wait for everybody else to come by.
Oh.
And see if you're going to win. So she got to watch like four or five people ski through the finish line, and she still stayed in the winner's chair.
Okay.
So I've done that before when the tournament side of it, where they try to knock you off.
Yep.
Well, pretty amazing. One of the cool things about this, and if you ever had a chance to watch an event, she's really talking about the culture that's changed within the U.S. ski team that's really driving the success that's never happened before. And I think any situation where you have that kind of success, it's cool.
If you ever get a chance, follow Jessie on Facebook.
Yep.
And her photos that she posts on there, it'll make you smile. Yep. She's always got the biggest smile on her face.
It's awesome. Tell you what, we're going to be right back. We're going to talk a little bit of what is up for Mille Lacs this summer. Hang tight. Hey guys, don't forget, check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com and
on Facebook.
There you go. Lots of cool stuff coming up. And if you have anything that you're wanting, check us, send us some questions or whatever at info. Isn't it info?
It's info at thevalleyoutdoors.com.
I thought so. I'm like, Don's trying to play tricks on me. Yeah. I trick questioned myself onto that one.
Actually, you just go to our website.
Exactly. You can log on there.
Yeah.
Check out all the cool websites, links, and other pieces of information. So we're going to get to the Mille Lacs story in a second. That's called a tease. We'll be talking about that momentarily. More importantly, the DNR is reminding people the upcoming ice deadline to remove shelters
from what state?
I said Minnesota DNR.
Okay.
Yep, Minnesota DNR. I don't know, and I'm trying to pull what the deadlines are for the other states. I don't have that, but I'll have that for next week.
I think they're fairly similar.
They should be very close. It's coming up in March, this March. Obviously, we're in March. All litter also must be removed from the ice. So if you've had anything that's frozen, get out the chisel and chisel the junk out of the ice. And hopefully it won't be an issue from before, but if you have a chance and it's warm, time to prop up that box, ice house, whatever you want to call it, ice shack, shanty, multiple names for it. But they have to be removed by Monday, March 6th, in the northern one-third of the state, north and east-west line formed by U.S. Highway 10, east along Highway 34 to Minnesota Highway 200, and east along Highway 200 to U.S. Highway 2, yada, yada, yada. The deadline is 11:59 on March 20th for those east along Highway 2 to the Wisconsin border. The conservation officers have been out recently checking shelters and documenting potential problems for people who probably have their ice that's,
you know,
is stuck.
Back in the day when I used to put one out, I never used the dates. I used the temperature outside.
Time to go.
And when it's time, get it off. If you have a warm day and she gets slushy, if you don't get it off, you know you've got a lot of work ahead of you. Because if she freezes again,
you're in trouble.
Yeah, so it's got nothing, you know, make sure you're off by the date, of course, but I always got them off early.
Yeah, and again, you don't have to, it doesn't mean you permanently can't ice fish anymore. Once the deadlines are in place, you can be on the ice with an ice house, but it has to be occupied. If they're out between midnight and 1 hour before sunrise, they cannot be left or stored at public accesses, and if they're not removed by the deadline, they might be confiscated and removed. Any owners receive citations, of course, so that's always a bummer part. I think that the other important part from my aspect is take the junk, take whatever you've had next to your shed. If it's not even yours,
yeah, pull it. It should be as clean as the day you pulled it out there.
You know, the whole thing is you wouldn't throw that in the water, and it's not, it's going to be water soon, so it'll be part of the environment when you're dealing with fishing in the summer. So they said commonly left items include sewage, bait, bottles, cans, and cigarette butts are commonality. And one of the things to keep in mind as well, this year, the ice has been marginal at best. It has not been good because of the snow, various other things, unless you're on a plowed road.
And so, the fluctuations of temperatures. And,
exactly. Yep. So just be aware of that if you think you're going to go drive out and grab your whatever that you had. Ice has not been a friend of the fisherman at all by any means, so hang tight on that. So let's jump into it, Don.
Yep.
Big news. There will not be a walleye closure for this summer on Mille Lac for 2023 on Lake Mille Lac.
Yep.
No closure. And that's been closures for the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, it hasn't been closed. It's just the limit has... Your fishing limit.
No
summer. You could still put a boat in the water and go out and fish.
Right, but you can't, no walleye closure. It was walleye. Right. Were completely off limits, couldn't do anything. So the total safe harvest quota on Mille Lac for 2023 is 175,000 pounds, 100,000 pounds being state licensed anglers. Tribal harvest, which usually takes place first via gill netting, is 74,000 this year. And the DNR announced the state licensed anglers will have the opportunity to harvest walleye between 21 and 23 inches in length or greater than 28 inches through the season, open water season of Mille Lac. They said a lower harvest this winter and improving walleye population are allowing this to be
implemented. So for the most part, nothing under 21.
Nothing under 21.
So it's got to be a pretty healthy fishery again.
Oh, well, the weird part is that there's so many of those mid to larger sized fish in the fishery, because when they put the slots on before,
right,
it was 15 to 17 inches. You're not going to have a fish in that area that makes it through a gauntlet. If somebody catches one of those, it's in the boat, and it's going home.
A 15 to 17?
When it was a slot of 15 to 17.
Right.
You know, whatever they moved that slot to in that area.
Yeah.
It devastated that area.
That size class, yep.
Yep, unfortunate. So the regulations will apply from the opener Saturday, May 13th, until the end of the open water season, Thursday, November 30th. Unlike recent years, there's no planned closure or ban on using live bait during the first 2 weeks in July. And that was a big conversation we had before. On opening weekend, fishing will be allowed 24 hours a day, beginning Monday, May 15th. The night fishing closure takes effect, and fishing hours in Mille Lacs will be 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. for all species from Saturday, June 3rd through Thursday, the 30th, muskie, November 30th, muskie and northern pike anglers using artificial lures or sucker minnows longer than 8 are exempt from the night fishing closure. Starting Friday, September 1st, night fishing closures are relaxed with angling hours 6 a.m. to midnight. That's awesome. And they're always going to be monitoring what's going on. And they now have, because of the way that they can alert people, they have the ability to change the seasons more quickly. They had talked about that with the advisory council, which was great. And it's allowing the resorts to have more business, which I think is going to be a big thing.
So how do they know how many pounds are coming off the lake? 100,000 pounds isn't going to take long.
No.
Not well, if they're 21 to 23. There's,
one apiece, one per person. So.
That's what the limit is?
Yeah.
One per person.
Yep.
Okay.
And they do it through creel census and as an estimate. And so
you'd be kind of a loser if you didn't take one off the lake, wouldn't you? Can't catch one.
So kind of a cool deal. I'm excited about that. I think the resorts up there are as well, after many years of not being able to
fish for walleye
to make it happen. So yeah, tell you what, hang tight. We're going to talk a little bit of a well-known bass angler. He is going to hang it up after the 23 season. This is big news as well. See you soon.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Well, Don, I think we've all watched some bass fishing at time from time to time, right?
Of course.
TV stuff.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the BASS or the FLW or the MLF, Major League Fishing, different ways of having different bass fishing competitions televised. And one of the guys that's been day in, day out, if you ask somebody who is the best angler, it could be Denny. It could be Davey Height. It could be Denny Brower.
You're Davey talking Height. In the bass world.
In the bass world. It could be there's a number of guys out there, but one guy that always comes up, whether it's on tackle, you see his name, you see it.
You never see his name. You see KVD.
KVD, yeah. Exactly. Kevin Van Dam. And he has just announced that he is going to retire following the 23 season. His success in the professional bass fishing circuits unparalleled, including 4 Bassmasters Classic titles, 7 Angler of the Year crowns, $7 million in earnings, and the countdown has begun in his retirement. So he's a Michigan native. He actually has a brother that owns a dealership in a boat dealership in Michigan, and they call it an end of an era. It may be overused. However, it's like Tom Brady.
Right.
This is literally the same kind of thing.
Not quite, but.
Well, it's close.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's the GOAT, really.
Mm-hmm. You know, how long has he been fishing? Do you know?
33 years.
I was going to say, I interviewed him once.
Did you?
Yep. Probably 25 years ago.
Well, I think we need to get him on again.
Yeah.
We can do that. Everyone seems to have his name imprinted in with the DNA of bass fishing, and of course he himself was part of that. And by the time he was 14 years old, he already fished his first bass tournament. By 16, he joined his first bass fishing club, and of course by then it was clear at that point that he wasn't a normal bass fisherman. it was something special and had significant talent. Confidence mixed with a bit of cockiness and the I know I can do this mindset, says Mark Zona from ESPN. If you're familiar with Mark Zona, he's one of the guys that's done many of the broadcasts with him. And, yeah, he's going to call it quits. It's kind of funny. The age of 23 in 1990, he started into the full-time bass fishing, and he joined the BASS. 2 years later, he won his first Toyota Tundra Angler of the Year title, the youngest to ever accomplish that feat. He'd go on to win that title six more times among four Bassmaster Classic titles, Angler of the Year for the FLW, 25 total BASS tournaments. He's won and four Major League Fishing Cups and earning more than $7 million along the way.
He's had a fairly successful career.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And he's big on the crankbaits. Another statement from Zona says, if he was in the top 10 going into tournament last day or within reach of the title, he was going to beat you. I mean, that's sure. He just had that methodology. You know, Chris Gilman, friend of the show, Walleye Tour, had fished with him before I went pro. And I'll never forget Saginaw Bay. This is a kind of a cool story. Saginaw Bay, we had gone out and we had found some decent fish. I caught one of my biggest fish ever, 13.4, I think it was.
Wow.
And we were catching them on a crankbait. So, well, it was coming into the third day of the PWT, the last day. And so there was three of us in a hotel room, and Chris was sleeping on the floor that night. I don't know why he slept on the floor. He's like, no, I got it. Well, he goes to sleep that night with the leaderboard in his hand. I'll never forget. I wake up in the morning, and he still has the leaderboard in his hand. And I said, so apparently you're looking at that pretty intently. And he's like, you know, Ole, I think I can do this. I think I can win this thing. And I'm like, okay. He goes, no. I calculated it. I think I can do this. I'm going to win this thing. Okay. Sure enough. Next day, that morning, goes out, gets on a pot of fish that we had found, lit them up, came back, and dominated by him like 3-4 pounds, which is a lot.
Right.
And that mindset, when you're talking about winning, and you have somebody that's in the top 5 or top 10, and you know they're in the top 10 and you're leading, I would not want to be that guy in first place or second place or third place knowing KBD is there, because by that time, he generally will have figured something else out. He's sitting in his back pocket, and now he's going to pull all the stops out and make it happen.
Yeah, it's like being in the top 3 with Tiger Woods.
I would say it would be exactly the same thing. So just an outstanding individual and really amazing in what he was able to do. And kudos to him for all the years that he's put into that sport and what he's done for the sport. A lot of tackle developments come up. So story coming out of Iowa, Don. Iowa CWD, chronic wasting disease.
Yeah.
57% up. Not good.
No.
The figures posted by the Iowa Department of Natural Resources said there were 82 positive tests last year. That's a 57% increase over 2021. And the chronic wasting disease infected deer was more than any previous year. And they're scared that it's going to be exponential. According to figures posted, 52 cases last year were found as opposed to 82 this year. It also represents total number of confirmed cases since 2013 to 246. It is apparent, according to the DNR deer biologist, that the disease is growing and also in geographic range. So they're very concerned about that because it's in Wisconsin, it's Minnesota, Illinois, and Missouri, where some of their biggest bucks, as you know, are a lot of big deer in the area. And I think the biggest issue here is isolated cases that are likely to be two reasons: deer mobility and transport of carcasses from concentrated locations farther away from a disposal site. In the deer mobility, there's nothing you can do. Deer are going to wander, right?
Right.
However, The study found that juvenile animals traveled 75 miles from their birthplace in search of new surroundings.
Wow, really?
Yeah. But what we can do is we can restrain how you dispose of those deer that are infected. And proper carcass disposal is a big thing. They're really going to focus on trying to drop that. They also want to increase sampling. They're going to eliminate supplemental feeding. They want to report, make sure you report a sick deer. I don't know if people know what a sick deer looks like that has CWD, but it kind of just, it'll stand and like spin in circles, kind of wander around, stagger. Report it immediately. Just call it in. It could save a significant number of deer if we can get that deer out of the herd. And that's a huge part of it. And they're estimating soon that 15 to 20% of the zone is affected by CWD. And by comparison, it's 1.5 more every year. And in this particular case, they expect the number to increase between 5 to 7,000 positive tests. So not a good thing.
Well, you know, hopefully eventually they can figure out a way to get this under control. I mean, it's all the states, not just, the whole Midwest, because it's,
we got to get them tested. Yep, got to get them tested, and that's the key thing. And speaking of key things, we're a wrap, Don. We're at the end of the rope, as they say. Thank you for joining us, Don, Ava, and you guys at home. We are the Valley Outdoors, and join us next week. We'll have some awesome stories again. Have a great day and whatever time you're going to spend in the outdoors.